Sambadaya Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamati Namasi Saraswati Angurumani Pachani Nirvishishish Pashkateti Sitarani. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 3. Avatirya Yadoravangshe Bhagavan Bhutabhavana Kritavanyani Vishvatma Tani no Varavistarat Avatirya Yadurvangshe Bhagavan Bhutabhavana Kritavanyani Vishvatma Tani no Varavistarat Avatirya Yadurvangshe Bhagavan Bhutabhavana Kritavanyani Vishvatma Tani no Varavistarat Avatirya, after descending, Yadovangshe, in the dynasty of Yadu, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhutabhavana, who is the cause of the cosmic manifestation, Kritavan, executed, Yani, whatever activities. Vishvatma, the supersoul of the entire universe. Tani, all of those activities. Na, unto us. Vada, kindly say. Vistarat, elaborately. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. Report. In this verse, the words Kritavanyani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by the Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukadeva Goswami about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtanadi Vakrishna Sha Mukta Sangha Param Vrijet Bhagavatam 12.351. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised Yaradeka Tarakaha Krishna Upadesh, CC Majjha 7.128. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. Om Gyana Dimananda Shagana Jana Salakaya Chakshun Vitami Natas Mashri Gadave Namaha Bancha Kalpatri Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhavicha Patitano Pavanevyo Vaishnava Bhavyo Namo Namaha. So as we're approaching the discussion of the advent of Lord Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit is glorifying Krishna, and this glorification is in prelude to Krishna's coming. So he's explaining why this is so important, why this is significant, that Krishna is going to be appearing and that discussion is going to be about him. So here, Parikshit is specifically glorifying the value of hearing about Krishna, this Krishna Katha. So it says, simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga, Prabhupada says in his purport. So we can't underestimate the importance and the value of hearing about Krishna, or this Krishna Katha. It's explained here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha. One is hearing the words of Krishna, and the other is hearing the words about Krishna. So we know in our Vaishnava literatures that our highest exemplars of these two principles are hearing these direct words of Krishna, such as Bhagavad Gita, and hearing about Krishna from his great self-realized devotees, such as exemplified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are two different categories of Krishna Katha, but they are equally potent and equally important to the devotees. Actually, the Vedic literatures describe that there are three different categories of literature. It's called a prasthana traya, the three types of prasthana, or three types of truth that is given. First, we have the Shrutis, which are the direct original words of Krishna, which are found in the four Vedas, the original four Vedas, and also the 108 Upanishads are considered Shruti. Then we have the Nyaya Prasthana, which is works of logic and arguments, such as Vedanta Sutra. And then thirdly, we have Smriti, which is the commentaries on the original Vedas, the commentaries on the words of Krishna given by the great devotees and self-realized souls. And of course, most specifically, many of these works are compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. So we have, in that category, we have all the different, many different literatures, Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas and the Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita. Now, interestingly, the Bhagavad Gita is mentioned several times as a Smriti literature because it is part of the Mahabharata, but it's sort of in a special category because it's actually the words of Krishna directly himself. So it could, be in one sense, be considered like Shruti. It's Krishna's direct words, or Krishna speaking, but technically it's considered part of the Smriti or the supplementary Vedic literatures. Entity and how he engages in devotional service, bhakti yoga to become perfected, and of course it was directly spoken by Krishna himself to revive religious principles on the earth. Then we also, of course, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course the Srimad Bhagavatam is being glorified, and we are studying it today and every day. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is really the most essential, important of all literatures to the Vaishnavas, because it is considered the summum bonum, or the cream of all Vedic literature, because the essence of Krishna is given. The philosophy of understanding Krishna, Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastimes, everything about Krishna is there, and there is nothing except for Krishna. There is no material contamination. There is no fruitive activity. There is no jnana. There is no speculation. There is simply bhakti. Simply devotion to Krishna is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore you find that in all of the different commentaries and all of the different literatures of all of our Vaishnavacharyas, the sort of the standard of proof is always Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the reference point. In other words, if you have a certain point and in Acharyas they want to make that point or exemplify that point, they will quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam because that is considered to be the essence of the highest knowledge given to us. And of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam itself explains this. A very, very nice verse, the very third verse of the work in the first canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigamakalpa taror galitam palam shuka mukhar amrita drava samyutam pipata bhagavatam rasa alayam bahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavaka. O expert and thoughtful men, relish the Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. And it's a very, very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. I'll just read the first few lines of that. Prabhupada says, in the two previous slokas, it was definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is a sublime literature which surpasses all other Vedic scriptures due to its transcendental qualities. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. In this shloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we actually hear from the Bhagavatam itself the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam and why this is such an essential literature. And of course, it's considered that ripened fruit. The example is given later on in that purport by Srila Prabhupada about, apparently, I don't have any experience of this, but apparently a fruit like a mango, if it's pecked by the beak of the parrot, somehow there's, I don't know what it is, whether it's some chemical reaction, but apparently the fruit becomes sweeter. That's the example that's given. So in the same way, when this Vedic knowledge or this literature or pastimes of Krishna are passed down from one self-realized soul to another, they become even sweeter. So here's described, and of course the word shuka also means parrot. So Shukadeva Goswami is giving this great literature and these pastimes of Krishna, so they become even sweeter and more relishable when they are coming from him. So a very, very nice description of the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the glories of Krishna. So Parikshit is saying here that he is desirous to hear all of the pastimes of Krishna from the beginning to the end. I think the word is given here, it's tani, which means all of those activities. So he wants to hear all of the activities of Krishna. He doesn't want to hear just some of them or particularly ones, or he doesn't say, well, I'm really kind of attracted to these activities, I'm not so attracted to the others. But no, he wants to relish from the beginning to the end, from the advent of Lord Krishna all the way through to all of his different pastimes. And this is the mood of the devotee, because Krishna is absolute, and everything in relationship to Krishna is absolute. So everything about Krishna is relishable and wonderful to his devotees. That is what it is to be a devotee. If you deeply love somebody, you want to know everything about them. You know, some of you may remember, sometime you may have been, quote, in love. You know, even in the material world, we have this experience. And, you know, it usually lasts for a couple of weeks or, you know, but, you know, we know there's this sort of moment when people fall in love, you know, when everything about that person is relishable. Everything, they want to know all about them, and anything they do, they just think, of course, that wears out real fast, you know, especially, you know, after a few years of marriage. But, you know, because that's illusionary, it's illusory in the material world, because no one is Krishna. We all have imperfections. But nevertheless, we can understand a little bit about that mood, even from these material examples. We can understand, think about, if you know, that moment of falling in love, and think about that, having that feeling eternally with Krishna. Because that's what it is. That's what it is to be in the spiritual world in relationship to Krishna. To just be constantly feeling that love in our relationship with Krishna. And it's exciting, and every day gets better, and it constantly expands, and we want to hear more and more. And therefore, everything is relishable about Krishna. Remember, Shruti Kirti gives us the story that he was reading Krishna book to Srila Prabhupada, and he read one story of killing one of the demons, Pralambasura or something, and he noticed that Srila Prabhupada seemed to really enjoy it. He was laughing and, you know, just really getting into it, was really enjoying the pastime. So the next day, Shruti Kirti picked up the Krishna book, and he was going through it. You know, he was going to try to find another demon story because he thought Prabhupada would like that, demon killing story. Prabhupada said, no, just read whatever's next. And Prabhupada explained that it's all relishable. We don't discriminate. So we don't discriminate between Krishna killing Pralambasura and Krishna dancing with the gopis in the Rasa dance. They're equally relishable to the devotee. So Prabhupada showed us that they're equally relishable, and also that we don't discriminate so much. So whether we're reading philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, or whether we're in the third canto and we're sort of struggling through Kapila Dev's Sankhya Yoga philosophy, trying to understand the intricacies of how the material world and all the different energies are expanding, which can be kind of tough sometimes to try to capture that, or whether we're reading wonderful pastimes of Krishna and Mother Yashoda, or Krishna and the Coward Boys, or Krishna and the Gopis, it's all equal to the devotee, because it's all about Krishna, the one that we are loving and serving. Therefore, it's all relishable equally. Not only is it relishable to the devotee, but it is our process of perfection. It is through that process of Krishna Gata, of hearing and chanting the message of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, that we become purified. And I believe in this purport, I noticed that Srila Prabhupada mentions the word liberated about four times. This process of Krishna Gata leads to liberation, the complete perfection of the soul that gets us out of this material energy and out of the bondage of three modes of nature is there simply by this process of hearing about Krishna. There's, of course, one very wonderful story in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Narada Muni. And Narada Muni exemplifies this process of perfection through hearing. This is in the fifth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, verses 26 through 28 or 29. Narada Muni is telling this story, his own story, to Vyasadeva. He says, O Vyasadeva, in that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantas, of course, these were the great devotees who during the Chaturmasya, during the rainy season, had stopped and were staying at the home where his mother was a maidservant. And so his mother was serving these great devotees, and he also, along with his mother, was also serving them. So he was simply a servant boy. He says, by the mercy of those great Vedantas, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing the personality of Godhead increased at every step. O great sage, as soon as I got a taste for the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching. And as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only my ignorance that I had accepted the gross and subtle coverings, for both the Lord and I are transcendental. Thus, during the two seasons, the rainy season and the autumn, I had the opportunity to hear these great-souled sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. I was very attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. As they were leaving, those Bhaktivedantas, who were very kind to poor-hearted souls, instructed me in its most confidential subject, which is instructed by the personality of Godhead himself. So very beautifully written, I think, beautifully worded story of Narada Muni, who is, of course, one of our greatest devotees, you know, second in our line of disciplic succession, son of Lord Brahma, directly who instructed by Lord Brahma in spiritual science. But he describes the beginning of how he attained that position. He attained that position, this wonderful position of Narada Muni, from this very humble beginning. And it was because he heard attentively the message of Lord Krishna from self-realized souls. So two very important lessons here in the story of Narada Muni. One is this importance of attentively hearing about Krishna, but also the importance of hearing from the right source and serving the great devotees. So it is through his service attitude, he pleased them. He pleased these great devotees by serving them very nicely, and thus they gave him spiritual instruction. So we want to make sure that not only are we hearing, but we're hearing from the right source. And that right source is, of course, one who has realized Krishna, one who understands Krishna, who has realized Krishna, who knows the position of Krishna. He can impart that knowledge to us. So, of course, we're very, very fortunate in that we are able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam through the purports of Srila Prabhupada, because it'd be very easy to misunderstand, misinterpret, form so many different ideas of who Krishna is without that proper instruction. How many of you read a copy of Bhagavad Gita before you read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita? Several of us? Did you really understand Bhagavad Gita and who Krishna was? I didn't understand a thing. I remember, yes, we read Bhagavad Gita, but what did it mean? I didn't really get it. Of course, I read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and it all became illuminated. It was perfectly clear. The understanding of who Krishna was, who I am, what my purpose in life was, became totally crystallized and illuminated because it was from the self-realized soul, because it was coming from the right source. And anybody who was in this line of specific succession from Krishna to Brahma to Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, all the way down through to Srila Prabhupada, and even to ourselves, we are able to give this understanding of Krishna consciousness. So we may not be self-realized souls, but because we're hearing from the self-realized soul and we're speaking and hopefully not changing those words, then those words also have potency. You know, and the process of distributing this Srimad Bhagavatam, this Vedic literature and this Vedic understanding continues and will continue generation after generation, you know, because it is coming from the right source in the civic succession. So this perfection comes about from the process of hearing. And this is even described in the Bhagavad Gita in a nice purport of 635. The verses, Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and detachment. Of course, the context of this is Arjuna is saying, how can one curb the mind, right? It's as fickle and as restless as the wind. You know, how can we possibly, even if one wants to be a devotee, even if one wants to control the senses, how do we possibly control the mind? And I think we all can probably say that is our great challenge for all of us. Controlling the mind is a great challenge. Even 5,000 years ago, when people were, you know, were in much better condition, not nearly as degraded, Kali Yuga hadn't fully begun, it was just on the cusp of Kali Yuga. Even then, Arjuna said it's very difficult. But Krishna says it can be done with constant practice and detachment. So, what does that mean? What is that practice that will help us to control the mind? Srila Prabhupada says, what is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagement is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. So again, the power of hearing is being exemplified here as the process to control the mind and become spiritually realized. And there's 2 parts to this that Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport. The process of devotional service, which is, of course, the 9 processes, beginning with Shravanam, hearing, then, of course, Kirtanam, chanting. This process does 2 things. First of all, it brings about the purification of the consciousness of all of our anartas and all of the past impressions and all of the attachments and all of the conditioning that is there in the mind. So it brings about by associating the mind with Krishna and things about Krishna and Krishna's devotional service, the mind begins to become purified. Prabhupada described it's like, you know, it's like a mirror is covered with dust, and we're wiping away that dust, you know, which leads to the pure illumination or the pure reflection then comes through, you know, from that mirror once it is cleansed. Jaya Gauri Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundara Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Shri Shri Gauri Jaya. And so first of all, we become purified and our consciousness becomes cleansed, but simultaneously the mind is becoming attracted to Krishna. So it's a two-part process, but they happen simultaneously. We become attracted to Krishna, and therefore we become disengaged with so many material things. At the same time, by becoming purified of all material engagements and material thoughts, we are able to turn our attention to Krishna. So, which happens first? It happens simultaneously. It's this two-part process: becoming detached from the material and attached to Krishna. And the beginning of this, once again, is this process of shravana, of hearing. So, at the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the process of hearing and chanting Krishna Katha in relationship to this Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised Yara De Katara Kaha Krishna Upadesh. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus become liberated from material bondage. So this is, of course, a very, very important, very powerful verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This was Lord Chaitanya speaking to the Brahmin Kurma. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling through South India, he came to, sometimes it says he's called the Kurma Brahmin, and sometimes he's called the Brahma Kurma. Apparently Kurma is his name, but he was also called the Kurma Brahmin. At any rate, Kurma became so attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and just so enlivened by his presence that he wanted to give up everything. He was a householder, he was a Brahmin there, you know, in his village. And he said, just let me give up all material activities. I just want to go with you. Let me travel with you and be with you constantly. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. He said, don't even think such thoughts. So what did he say? He said, stay in your home and practice Krishna consciousness. And then he said, this Yara Deka Tarakaha Krishna Upadesh, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in the land. Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, this is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join the society, but that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably in his residence. We simply request everyone to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if one is a little literate, he can read the Bhagavad Gita as it is and the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is so much the better. These works are now available in English translation and are done very authoritatively to appeal to all classes of men. People throughout the world should take advantage of this movement and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at home with their families. So Srila Prabhupada believed in these words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, took them as his life and soul. He believed in the words of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, who told him to come to this Western world and to preach Krishna consciousness in English language. And he believed in the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam about the value and to be able to purify the misguided civilization by this Vedic literature, particularly the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is what Srila Prabhupada's life's mission became. From many, many years, even before Srila Prabhupada came to America, he began his translations of Srimad Bhagavatam into English, because he knew it was the Srimad Bhagavatam which would purify the hearts of all of us in the Western world who were so covered by material sense gratification. So his work was always to translate the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita into English. And not just to translate, but to make these books available by distributing them throughout the world. I don't remember what the numbers are. Does anybody know how many hundreds of millions of Prabhupada's books have been distributed? I mean, the last time I heard it was something like 600 million. Anybody know? Isn't it something like that? I think I've heard recently. Something like 600 million books distributed throughout the world. This is not an ordinary thing. You know, I don't think even Stephen King or some of these people have distributed 600 million books. Maybe they have. You know, but, you know, this is, Prabhupada's books are probably the all-time best-selling books. Why? And it's a subject matter that people barely understand. They barely are attracted to. This is the potency of the pure devotee of the Lord, who was empowered by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, empowered by Lord Chaitanya, to spread this mission of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And it was all focused on these Vedic literatures. Prabhupada so much made the focus, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't make the focus on himself. I am this charismatic guru and I'll travel through the world and everyone will just come. Of course, it happened. He was charismatic and people were attracted to him and people did join this Krishna conscious movement. But that wasn't the way he approached it. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to give the absolute truth, to give the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita to the world. And he did that tirelessly. He translated, he set up all the processes of book distribution, of printing books, and made this constantly available. You know, so this was his life. And we take that very seriously as his disciples and his followers, you know, that we need to continue that mission and to assist Srila Prabhupada until that mission is complete. And that mission is not really complete until everyone on this planet has a Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and become enchants Hare Krishna. So we have a lot of work to do. You know, and in my initiation letter, Srila Prabhupada said that I should help to propagate and to to propagate the literatures and the message of Krishna consciousness and make the whole world perfect. He said, as far as you are able to do so. So he gave me an out at least. Yeah, oh my God, you know. Make the whole world perfect, small order. But as far as I'm able to do so. So I'm only able to do a tiny bit. Some other greater devotees are able to do it a lot more. But we all, whatever we can do, whether it's a little bit or a lot, we all can contribute to spreading this Krishna conscious movement and pleasing Srila Prabhupada, pleasing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pleasing Lord Krishna. So following that example and following the orders of Lord Chaitanya, we all must take up this process of spreading Krishna consciousness, of Krishna Katha, of hearing and chanting. You know, of course, we have so many nice opportunities, so many, we have some wonderful devotees like Krishna Kesava is not here so I can glorify him, who, you know, you can just see, he just keeps the Harinam going. That's his heart and soul, right? He's, you know, always, Harinam, Harinam. We have Harinam on Friday, we have Harinam on Saturday. So as long as we have devotees like that, you know, who are continuing to push the hearing and chanting, and, you know, devotees who want to preach and distribute literatures, and somehow or another who just influence people in small ways. You know, I was thinking we have this great gift. I know myself, I'm often, you know, reluctant, or I lose the opportunity or miss the opportunity to give Krishna consciousness to others. And we have so many opportunities. We need to really consciously think about those things and take those times and take those opportunities. You know, whether it's just saying Hare Krishna to somebody, inviting them to the temple, give them a card, in some little way. You know, in other words, try to introduce people to Krishna consciousness. Because the devotees have great faith in this process and in its power. We never know who we will meet and who will come and who Krishna has arranged. Prabhupada used to say that, you know, this Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party is going through the world, just, and there's devotees out there everywhere waiting for the Sankirtan party to pick them up. It's actually a fact. We never know who is going to be Krishna consciousness or who is going to take up this process. So we want to, you know, trying to please Srila Prabhupada, our gurus, to try to give this Krishna consciousness to everyone wherever we can, and particularly to introduce people to this process of Krishna Katha, of hearing and chanting the pastimes of Krishna. Sometimes I used to wonder, we used to go out and distribute books, and, you know, we would give out Krishna books, and we'd give out, Bhagavatams, Sometimes I wondered, you know, can people even understand these things? Shouldn't we just be giving out very simple, you know, introductory literature? But there's great power in just contacting these books and contacting Krishna. I know several stories of devotees. I'm just thinking about them, our beautiful, wonderful deities here. I can think of right off the top of my head at least three stories where people who had knew nothing about Krishna consciousness walked into a temple, saw Radha and Krishna, not here or some other temple, on the altar, and immediately knew, this is God, this is it, I'm a devotee. I can think of it, at least three stories where people knew almost nothing about Krishna consciousness. So the power is there. Everything in relationship to Krishna, Krishna's literature, Krishna's beautiful form, Krishna's pastimes, they're all attractive. And those who are a little bit pious, those who are a little inclined towards devotional service, they'll recognize and they'll appreciate that. And our job is simply to somehow bring that to them, make some connection, contact people with this sublime philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions? Let's take Jatari.
You were saying that you asked us if had anyone ever seen or read Bhagavad Gita. I do remember one time. The only thing I remember about that Bhagavad Gita was a little black book, yeah. And I remember seeing in there the word guna, you know, and this is describing how guna means rope. So that was one thing I remember, but it didn't really do much for me, other than, you know. So, and one other thing, I was listening to a lecture, Srila Prabhupada, they had just received the Macmillan edition of the Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. And so the devotees were reading it, and Prabhupada was stopping and commenting. And, you know, one of the first things that was read there was about, you know, Srila Prabhupada was saying, an American woman asked me which Bhagavad Gita that I could recommend, and Prabhupada said there wasn't one that I could recommend. And then he went on to say that Krishna qualifies in the very beginning that a person has to be both a devotee and a friend, and then they can understand it.
Yeah. So. Thank you very much. Yeah, it is a fact that actually, and Prabhupada points it out, so many editions of Bhagavad Gita are there, but how many people became devotees of Krishna? Practically speaking, no one. You know, I mean, unless someone is already inclined, maybe they were, you know, from a Vaishnava family or something, you know, but in other words, as far as anybody knew in the Western world, no effect whatsoever, you know. You know, because it's because the words have to be heard properly from the self-realized soul. Let me see if there are any of the ladies here first. Mamai?
Just as I came in a little late, you were mentioning how a number of Prabhupada's books, 600 million, that number kind of seems phenomenal to me. And I was just wondering how to research that. And
I may have just made it up, but I think that's pretty close, you know. Where is it? Uh-huh. And that was about that? See, it's confirmed. He said he saw it on a BBT publication.
Okay, I think that should be like put on like Wikipedia, Prabhupada's entry.
Yeah, you should track it down. And,
yeah. I mean,
get that out there.
I mean, he must be a world record or something. I remember years and years ago, Mukunda Maharaj, I think he and Rameshwar, when he was Maharaj, were wanting to have like Prabhupada get into the Guinness Book of World Records, and they had approached me because I guess at that time my dad was the American editor, it's his thing. But I remember, you know, like, give me statistics and I'll work on it, you know what I mean? But nobody.
We have so much to offer if people knew, right?
Yeah.
If we can get the word out there better.
Well, there's lots of facility these days online. Yeah. Just, you have to verify things. I can't just throw out.
Sure. Oh, it can be easily verified, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, where to verify.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking of another thing. You know, some of you remember, wasn't it about, was it within the last year that Time Magazine had this article about, they were talking about people who accomplished a lot in their older age, and they had the list of, you know, current people, the 10 most influential people, like who accomplished things over 65 or something like that, and Srila Prabhupada was in that list. He was up there in the top five, I think, as far as, you know, incredible examples of people at such an old age did amazing things. Yeah. So people will gradually begin to appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has done. Yeah, Pundri?
Right at the end, in Prabhupada's purport at the end, he mentioned that, I'll just try to paraphrase it, that by repeating or speaking the message of Krishna, one will not be affected by the faults of Kali Yuga. So we have all done that to some degree, but sometimes we're still affected by the faults of Kali Yuga. So what is the difficulty?
Yeah, so simply by chanting and repeating Krishna Gita, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Right. So it's a process. You know, it's a process of purification, and it doesn't necessarily happen overnight. But, you know, to the degree that we apply the process, the degree the contamination is lifted. To the degree that we are seriously engaged in the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam, to that degree, we become purified. You know, but sometimes it's a challenge. Prabhupada said, purifying my Western devotees is like washing coal. Remember that? Of course, Prabhupada said a lot of nice things about us, too. But he also did say that. In other words, it's a struggle, you know, because our hearts are quite contaminated in this Kali Yuga.
Krishna, or is always, could it be said that if someone is always, you know, makes sure, I mean, intentionally goes out to always speak about Krishna to others, that that would help in keeping him free from the...
Well, it's certainly the idea to be constantly engaged in hearing and chanting. Of course, you know, it doesn't work too well to do it artificially. You know, I mean, you know, I just... I mean, we could come up to everybody we meet and just tell a pastime of Krishna from Krishna book, and I mean, that's nice, and you know, but at the same time, you know, there's so much, you know, there's so much else in our lives and relating to people in many different ways. But there are different ways that we actually remember Krishna and that we speak about Krishna. And one way is also through service. Prabhupada made this very clear that he said that if we are engaged in thinking about, performing, and talking about service to Krishna, that's also equally valuable. So one somehow or another, we need to be engaged. You know, and even if, you know, most of us, it's hard for us to be, you know, just constantly thinking of Krishna's pastimes, talking about Krishna. But if we can't do that, then at least think about Krishna's service, you know, in our engagement and how we can serve Krishna and how we can, you know, how we can, and that helps to keep our mind absorbed. Yeah. Madam Mohan, you want to add to that?
That was a question I had. You used the word relish quite a bit today on there, so how do you define that, or what's the process? Or it's kind of like a little hard to put the finger on. You know, when it says, "O thoughtful, expert, thoughtful men, relish the Srimad Bhagavatam." So it's not, there's an extra. Elements. So I was wondering if you could expand on.
Yeah, it's not try. It's not just a question of, okay, I have to dutifully hear this, you know, because it's good for me. You know, in other words, maybe in the beginning we need to, you know, maybe in the beginning we have to do things mechanically to some degree on the order of the spiritual master. But the real idea is exactly that. The more advanced devotees, they relish these pastimes. They get enjoyment. And I think that the way that, you know, just, I'm kind of speculating a bit here, but I think that I'd have to study the Sanskrit, how the word's used. I don't have it, but I think we're talking about a spiritual experience of enjoyment, not just a material experience. So in other words, it's not just like, oh, that really makes me feel good, you know, I'm really happy, I'm excited like that, but it's much deeper. I mean, when we talk about relishing the pastimes of Krishna, it's actually the enjoyment of the soul. It's because that's our spiritual nature. Our spiritual nature is ananda, right? To experience happiness, to experience pleasure. That is our nature. And so how does the soul experience that pleasure? One of the ways we do is by Krishna Gita, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, that awakens that pleasure potency or that enjoying, spiritual enjoyment that we have within the heart. Okay, Trivikram Prabhu.
When I was a kid, I used to relish the mangoes pecked by the parrot. We had a farm, huge mango farm, and the parrot would peck mango before they were actually ripe. But that would speed up the ripening process. Mm. And then the mango would fall to the ground. It was much sweeter than the regular mango being ripened.
See? So you said there really were parrots there and you...
Yeah, yeah.
So you experienced this?
Personally, you know. Oh, okay. And I used to wonder. and I would always look for the mangoes that's been pecked by the parrot. Because
really?
they're sweet, okay. Cereals, you know. And
I used to always wonder... Srimad Bhagavatam is confirmed by Trivikram's experience.
I used to always wonder, why is this so, you know? And then coming here and hearing that when Shukadeva Goswami speaks of Srimad Bhagavatam, men would relish it, really.
Oh, thank you. Now, next time I talk about that, I can say, and I know a devotee who's personally experienced that it works that way.
But I have a question here. You said that, well, of course, you quoted the verse by Lord Chaitanya where he says that qualify oneself and you become a spiritual master. Mm.